Happy New Year, everyone. Reiterating some of what Adam said earlier, it is a glorious time of year, starting off a whole new year, lots of potential and opportunities before us. And this is also, for many of us, the end of the holiday season, right? Beginning tomorrow, work starts in earnest again for many of us. Back to school for some people, and for some you might have another week yet. But yeah, I mean, now all the dinners are over, the gatherings, the parties, the gifts, all the fun time, and now we go into the long dark, where nothing fun happens for months. Right? We cling to an occasional day here, day there, but for the most part, we just now have to look forward to winter and pray that it ends at some point. Pardon? I don't complain that I'm working at all. I love that. So, let's for a moment just take a breath and prepare for the year ahead. And that's really what we're going to do this morning is breathe. All right, if we can do that for the next hour, we're in good shape. Really, though, I'm going to walk us through a breathing exercise, and I'd ask you to please participate as we go through this. It'll make the lesson make more sense. So we're going to start this morning with just breathing. Breathe in, breathe out, close your eyes if you want, deep and slow. Pay attention to the air as it comes in, as your lungs expand. Feel the breath coming in and going out. Now, as you're going through and you're recognizing your breathing, what I'd like you to do when I say here in a second is just take in as much air as you possibly can. Expand your lungs as far as they'll go and hold it. Go ahead, suck it in, bring in as much air as you can and just hold it. Now when you have to stop holding it, let it out, don't pass out on me. Just feel that for a minute. There's an interesting thing about holding your breath. The discomfort isn't that you need more air. It's that you have to let it out. You feel compelled to get it out. So as you let that air out, if you haven't already, no one's turned blue yet, so we're doing good. But as you let that air out, notice the relief that comes by completing the process, by letting it out and recover. Breathe normally again, take in a few deep breaths, because the next one gets harder. We're going for 15 minutes. So that's what it feels like when we're taking in breath and we're holding on to it. Now let's try the opposite. Here in a second, what I want you to do is push all the air in your lungs out. Get it all out. To the point it almost hurts, and then hold. So go ahead. Again, don't pass out on me. Push all the air out and hold it. Just hold it. And if you need to, again, don't pass out. Start breathing. When you hold your breath, the struggle isn't that you want more air, it's that you need to return what you have, and the relief comes by letting it out. But notice when you have no air, you can start to feel the pain almost immediately. There's an anxiousness that comes with it almost immediately, almost a panic. As humans, we can go weeks, well, some of you can, some of us can go longer, or depending on what we've got stored up. We can go weeks without food. We can go days without water. And if you hold your breath, you can go several minutes, depending. I think the world record right now is 15 minutes. You can go minutes without breathing if you hold your breath. But if you push it all out, you've got seconds. You have seconds and you have to continue the process. When we look at breathing with no air, this starts our debate with modern CPR, right? Because now with modern CPR, a lot of times, what do they teach us not to worry about? The breathing portion. Now, the debate around that is that the idea is if they've been breathing prior to their heart stopping, the big concern is pumping the circulation so the air gets moving around, right? Plus, people are just less willing to do it if I have to put my mouth on yours, right? But on the flip side to that, that's only true for the first few minutes. Because if that oxygen isn't in the bloodstream, the breathing becomes important again. Breath has to be, air has to be in the blood, but it has to be part of that process. This kind of leads into a story. This lesson actually became something because of Fred. I didn't have to do CPR on Fred. But Fred, a few months ago, in one of his classes, was talking about the five senses. And he asked us a question. He says, what is the most memorable textual contact, physical sensation of touch that you ever had? And if you think about it, there's a lot of different things. You know, maybe something weird you touched or something like that. What is the most rememberable thing of touch you've ever experienced? And for me, my memorable touch, my memorable experience, was the stubble of my grandfather's beard in the morning on my lips. February 28th of 1995, I'd been a Christian for less than 5 months. I'd been baptized in October of that year before. It was the year a little bit later that summer, I would preach a gospel meeting for the first time in Flint and meet this young lady named Kelly that would luckily become my wife. So February 28th, 1995, I was in the den of my grandparents' house on the floor giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to my grandfather. Two breaths, chest compressions, two breaths. And I remember no sensation more. I can feel it to this moment, what his stubble felt like with my mouth over his. Watching his chest rise as I breathed that life into him. And then as you stop, it goes back down. And you do it again. And it's not like the movies where you're expecting the person after a few moments to cough, right, and stutter around a little bit, and all of a sudden their eyes open and they start talking to you. And oh, yay! It wasn't like that at all. It was doing it for minutes and minutes and minutes, knowing in the back of your head this ain't working, until the ambulance showed up. That was my realization in that moment that breath and life are inextricably linked. They go together so closely, more so than almost anything else you can imagine. Breath and life. God designed it that way from the beginning. And there are a couple of valuable lessons I hope that we can take away from this idea of breath and life. We know that in the beginning, God made man. And in Genesis chapter 2, God performed CPR. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now, sometimes we look at these words and we're used to in Scripture, when we think about breath and so forth, we think about wind, we think about the Spirit. That's not the word here. This isn't psuche from Greek. This isn't ruach from Hebrew. This is a puff of air. God gave man a puff of air. He did CPR. He blew into his nostrils the puff of air, the puff of life, and man became a nephesh, a breathing creature. Man became a breathing creature. Now, this not be unique to Adam, because God uses this concept and applies it to all of us. We all, at some point, became breathing creatures. He uses the phrase again when we get to Noah and the flood in Genesis chapter 7, and it talks about the fact that all those who weren't on the ark, whose in their nostrils was the breath of life. And when they drowned, they all died. They lost the breath of life. We see this more succinctly, if you will, with Christ on the cross. In Mark chapter 15, Christ is on the cross, and it says he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he breathed his last. That phrase literally means he gave up the ghost. "Into your hands I commit my spirit," and he stopped breathing. There's a spiritual lesson in our breath. We do not control when we take our first one, and we don't control when we take our last one. I remember Cole when he was born. I was there. When he was born, and you know, the thing you're waiting for when a baby comes out is the crying, right? To show, okay, this is working. The breath has started. And he didn't quite breathe right away. And that lack of immediate breath, that like crying, put him in the NICU for 10 days. The fact was, we were waiting for that breath of life. And we don't control when it happens. We don't control when it stops at the end of life. Meaning every breath between your first and your last is a gift of God. It is by His power, by His authority, by His will. The breath you are taking in right now is from Him. He has decided you get another one. Every breath of air, every moment of life is by His will. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't grasp it, and yet, every few moments, you're sustained by His will filling your lungs, by Him allowing you another few moments. With every breath we take, we can be reminded, God is with me. God is present. God is filling me. God has an intent for me, a purpose for me. God's presence is granting me another moment of life. Do it again. Breathe deep. That is God giving you the gift of nephesh, a breathing creature. In Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 20, Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also in Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. One day, we are going to take our last breath. But Paul's point was, if it's not now, then there's something I have to do yet. There's work that God has for me. There's purpose in this life that I can be doing for God. And so if I'm going to stay here, it means God needs me here. He wants me here. If you are ever struggling to find God in your life, to know if He's there, if He's with you, if He's caring for you, just stop and breathe for a minute. Because that breath is only by His will. It's only because He wants you to take it. Because He cares about you. Recognize the breath is from Him. He just blessed you with a few more seconds of life. That breath is God saying to you, stay. I want you to be here a little bit longer. I have a purpose for you. Paul told the Athenians this idea of this unknown God is the God that gives you your breath. And so if we have a God that is giving us our breath, then we have a God who has a purpose for us, a reason for us to be alive. Now, take a moment. Up to this moment, we've been talking about half of the equation. God is filling my lungs with air. But God also demands it back. We tried earlier, you can't keep it for very long, can you? I can breathe in air, I can cling to it, I can hold on to it, but at some point, it's coming out. God is getting it back. At some point, you have to return what God has put into you. And that is the second lesson that we can start to think about today. The second half of the equation. God demands the gift back. Job kind of hints at this. Job brings up this idea as he is just lost all of his wealth, all of his family. As he's sitting there, he says in Job chapter 1, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What comes from God returns back to Him. Every breath is borrowed. It's used. It's returned. It doesn't belong to you. You can't keep it. So the breath you are taking right now, by the will of God, is going to go back to Him. And here's the interesting thing. The gift isn't a choice. Notice a minute ago, we tried not to breathe. It's not a choice. You will breathe. Even if you pass out, you'll start breathing after you've passed out. Breathing, if it is God's will, is not a choice. You're going to take the gift He has to give to you, whether you want it or not. And that becomes an interesting question for us. I can force all the air out. I can hold off God for a minute. I can be absent from Him, from His gift. It's painful. As we said, it's panic-inducing. It's anxious-inducing. But at some point, just like Paul says in Romans chapter 14, your knee will bow. You will proclaim Him. You will give in. Because God is the master. And we're His servants. There's an interesting thought about breathing, because it is the parable of the talents. We know the parable of the talents, right? A treasure comes from the master and is handed off to the servants. And the servants have this treasure for a period of time, and at some point we know, they know the master is coming back for it. It's not their treasure. They don't get to keep it. They got to use it, do something with it, and then give it back to the master. And what was the master's expectation? That when you give back the thing I gave you, it will have more value. So here's an interesting question for you. The breath you're taking right now is filled with potential, with possibilities, with the power to act and do and think. What is it going back to God having done? When you return the breath back to God, what has it accomplished? What value did you add to the Lord's gift? When God gives you a breath, let me just ask briefly, which of your breaths so far this morning has been pointless? Which one didn't you need? Which breath had no meaning to you? So the reality is, every breath has purpose. If you go back to Philippians in chapter 1, there in verse 25, Paul says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy of faith. Paul was going to continue so that he could bring joy and faith. If you continue on throughout the entire book of Philippians, Paul is going to come back to this thought over and over. Because I got to stay, good things for God are happening. He goes on in verse 27. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He goes on in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, even a comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, let nothing, he says down in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. But finally in verse 4, he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Throughout the book, over and over, he keeps bringing up this idea that the moments you have here on earth are from God, and they have a purpose. He gets to the point in verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 14, where he says, therefore, rejoice always. Every moment is a moment for God. That's the purpose. That's the point. That's why you're here. So how are you investing and maximizing the breath that God is giving you, the breath of life that He is putting into you in this moment? Do you spend His breath singing and praising, praying, proclaiming Him? Do you spend His breath in labor for other people, for His work, for His purpose to make things better? Do you spend it to support and toil for others? Are you learning? Are you developing and growing? Do you rest and recover and rejuvenate? Does your breath have a purpose? There's an important thing, and here's the deal. If I was Jim, I'll use his, here's the deal. God is not asking you to do more with the breath He's giving you. He's asking you to do what matters. Be intentional about your time, the blessing that He's given you. be purposeful with it. Do what matters so the breath, when it returns, gains value. As we wrap up and leave here today, we launch into a new year of possibilities and potential. Remember, just take a breath. It's God blessing you. It's God sustaining you. It's God being present with you and reminding you for the next few seconds, He needs you here. He wants you here. It's a challenge to consider, what are you going to do with those few moments? Will you make the breath of God, the breath He is lending you, worth more? Will it return to Him with the satisfaction of knowing you've increased its value? We're going to wrap this morning up spending a few moments praying to God that we can use His breath wisely, and then we will sing a song using that breath to praise Him. Pray with me. Our Lord God, thank You for each breath. Thank You for the reminder as our lungs expand that You are present, that You are sustaining us with life, that You are filling us with Your gift, that You're giving us the potential to make each breath matter. Lord, we have a new year before us. Help us to give the gift of life, every breath, every moment we can, to become better servants of Yours, to be better to our fellow breathing creatures. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge and faith, and let the breath we give back to You return with more meaning and purpose and value. Whether we're putting forth effort, working for You, working for others, whether we're resting and recuperating so that we can work again, let our breath be intentional and worthy of the One who gives life. Amen. At this time, I'd ask you to stand and sing with us our final song.